This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of cutting-edge theater or a holiday concert that will warm your heart, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. We begin with two works by a red-hot playwright. The University of New Orleans School of the Arts Theater, UNO, continues its production of Gloria. The award-winning drama by playwright Brandon Jacobs Jenkins puts office politics under the microscope in a biting workplace comedy that takes a toxic turn. It is directed by David Hoover, who joins us with cast members Danielle James and Rachel Morris. Welcome.
Hi.
Brandon Jacob Jenkins is red hot in this look at American society through life in the workplace. David, let's begin with you. What drew you to this play?
It's incredibly timely. It's one of those things where you sort of think it's unfortunately timely because there are things even recently in our world that it definitely speaks to. So I think I was drawn to that. Cast-wise, the ages are perfect for a university because the characters in the play are all young and it's contemporary. So it has some explicit content. It's something that we can actually touch.
So let's do that. We're in the publishing world in Manhattan.
Yeah, this is Rachel. We're in this incredibly competitive, fierce world in Manhattan, and you just see all the different types of personalities that are drawn to this work. The very ambitious, competitive assistants, top editors who are just cold and calculating. You see the overworked, haggard, worn out, burnt out characters as well. And I think it's really interesting to just watch these characters work together. You almost see a little bit of your coworkers in everyone.
This is Danielle. I also would say that the dynamics that you see in the scenes between the different characters provide a very interesting look at how like work relationships are. There's the brother-sister fighting, but you still have a lot of love for each other dynamic. And then there's the character that's there that's super-duper ambitious and kind of catty, but you put up with her anyway because you have to because you're at work. And then you have the character who's a little bit older than the rest of them, and he comes in, and it's a completely different dynamic from the younger ones. And he's just like, oh, these young, rowdy people, why are you here disturbing my work? I think that's something that you also see when you're working with a lot of different people and a lot of different backgrounds. And so it sheds a light on that in this play.
And these are basically young people who are trying to climb the corporate ladder?
Yes. Correct.
At a magazine company?
Yes, ma'am.
They're all aspiring book writers, but now they're serving as editors and, you know, considered lesser types of jobs while they're trying to ascend this ladder.
Yes, they're assistants and fact checkers, and there are interns. And so you get to see the steps before they get to what they really want to be, and that's the big book people.
Now, who is Gloria?
This is Rachel. I actually play Gloria in the show. And I think Gloria is a very interesting character in that she's talked about a lot. She's not seen all that much. Some people think she's the office freak. Some people think she's just a worn out editor or copywriter. She's, I don't know, she's almost like a mystery in a way because you don't get to see her side of things very much. You get to hear what other people think about her. And I always think that's interesting in a show when other characters kind of inform what you think about the character.
I think it's also interesting that Gloria, who we know in Act One, becomes this iconic image as the play progresses, and she becomes less about a character and more about a product. And I think that's some commentary in the play as well. I think it's interesting as well. Mm-hmm. The costume designer, and I always laugh every night at this one moment where she goes, Gloria's been here 15 years, as if that's like forever. Well, in the modern sense, young people don't hang on to jobs. So we always think that's funny. She's been there 15 years, like that's this insane amount of time in a career. But she is of kind of that other type of generation.
Danielle, which character do you play?
I play Annie, Sasha, and Callie. Annie is who you see in the magazine office who actually gets to interact with Gloria. And she has some interesting takes on how Gloria is as a person. In Act Two, you see Sasha and Callie.
So you play three roles.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a scene from the production that you can perform?
Yes. We just find out that Gloria threw this giant housewarming party the night before and like three people went. And it was really awkward and horrible. And they're just speaking about this. And right as they're speaking about this, Gloria walks through the door for the first time.
Speaking of, hi, Gloria.
Speaking of?
Yes, we were just talking about you.
Why were you just talking about me?
Your party. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to make it. Dean said it was really nice.
He did?
Yeah. Did you have fun?
Not really.
Oh,
Where is Dean?
He's in a meeting with Nan right now.
Okay. I have to go. Like I said, you don't see her that much. She's like a shooting star. She comes in and then she leaves.
Now, just as the audience is getting comfortable with this production, it takes a dark turn.
It does. There's a bit of a startling ending to Act One that kind of then propels us into the rest of the play.
Now, is there something that you can tell us about the second act without spoilers?
Nowadays, and this is sort of a thematic trend and a very American way to deal with crisis, it becomes about who's going to get to tell the victim's story, who's going to be able to profit from the telling of a tragedy, and how much we sort of highlight that sort of celebrity or take that situation and celebritize the incident in uncomfortable ways sometimes, and in American ways, for profit, which is interesting.
What are the different themes that the playwright is exploring here?
Getting away from our own humanity in a workplace and letting work become something that is a drudge and letting that affect everyone around us. I think it's about the need that humans have for human interaction and what the consequence of that is when we lose human interaction. And I think the celebritizing of victims and the celebritizing of the perpetrators and how that becomes sort of the mainstay of American capitalism. Boy, that sounded boring. It has a lot of humor in it. Did I say that?
It's very,
very funny.
So I think those are just a few of the themes he's working on.
Tell us a little bit about the playwright, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. What helps him to deliver this rare look inside office life?
He's a recent MacArthur Genius Award winner. He's really just very hot property right now. Youth, I think he has a connection to that, as well as to the pulse of sort of Americanism, American ideas and relationships. I think he has a concept of diversity and characters and their backgrounds and how they interact in the world. So I think he just has an experience that connects to so many different things. So when he puts his finger on something and decides he wants to write about it or delve into it, I think we get a really informed point of view. And he also has a great sense of humor. It's a dark, funny sense of humor that he has. So.
What will be the big takeaway from this production?
I think the play is kind of summed up with a character in the last scene who says, I'm trying to get to know people better that I work with and understand my own humanity better.
Director David Hoover and actresses Danielle James and Rachel Morris, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Theater UNO presents Brandon Jacobs Jenkins' Gloria. Performances run through November 17th in the Robert E. Nims Theater on the University of New Orleans campus. More info is online at SOTAperformances@uno.edu. Performances are free to all students with ID and extends beyond the UNO campus. Across town, mortality is explored in Brandon Jacobs Jenkins' off-Broadway hit Everybody, now being performed by Southern Red Theater's Acting Company, a pop-up production of local actors in collaboration with the theater company. It is being directed by Southern Red's newly appointed Associate Artistic Director, Helen Jacks, who joins us with actress Zandra Howard. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
Well, Helen, congrats on your new position. Many of us are familiar with Southern Rep Theater's main stage productions, but not so much is known about the acting and apprentice company program. Bring us up to speed.
Yes. So a few seasons ago, Lauren Turner asked us about putting together a company of performers who were community minded and really interested in pushing their craft and taking time to, you know, work on being better performers. And so we auditioned people and there was an application process where we asked, you know, why do you want to be a part of this? What do you want to learn? And from it came the acting company. So over the course of a few seasons, they've been working on in-house staged readings. They've helped with our arts education and engagement programming. And this is kind of the culmination of their time with us as a cohort. We wanted to give them a production that really challenged them and pushed them beyond limits maybe that they had done before.
And boy, what a production
you picked.
Zandra, you are one of the actors who wears a different hat in your day job at a local charter school. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became involved with Southern Rep's acting company.
Yeah, so during the day, I have the pleasure of working with students at Harriet Tubman Charter School. And I really love and am excited about the work that I do professionally. And personally, I've always been drawn to the theater and in love with the idea of creating art and art that represents life and that is a window to the world. I got involved in Southern Rep looking for an outlet to be creative that was outside of my teaching profession and being creative in the classroom, but being creative in a performance sense. And when this opportunity came up and I found out a lot about the work and creating art that is for the New Orleans community, I was really excited. And so I auditioned and became part of our company, and I'm excited to see how we grow together.
Now, tell us about the production, Everybody. This is an adaptation of a 15th century play.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, the original title is Every Man. So I love that the adaptation is Everybody. And I think part of what the adaptation is asking is, who do we mean when we say everybody? And if it's truly the story of life and death and what we bring with us when we die and what we leave behind, what we can't bring with us, what does that look like in a contemporary context? And so essentially death comes on behalf of God and asks everybody to kind of get it together because they're going to have to give a report to God. And everybody is scared to go by themselves. They don't want to go on this journey with death by themselves. And so they ask kinship to come along. They ask their stuff to come along. And everyone, you know, all of these figures say that they can't. And it's ultimately love that goes with everybody to the grave.
And love is actually your character, Sandra.
Yes, it is. When I first approached this character, I immediately thought, and I think that's the way many people might think, love. Oh, yeah, that romantic love, the love between partners or a significant other. Yeah, I can do that. But then the more that we worked and delved deeper into the meaning of the work and the words and the idea of what love is, the more profound this character became. And the idea that the only thing that goes with us is love. It's not that romantic love. It's the agape beyond all love and how wonderful it is to find comfort in that. And so this part has just really been an amazing journey, both in the world of an actor, but also as a human being.
So this is a Christian parable?
It's based on a Christian parable, but what one of the actors tells us in the course of the play is it's also based on Buddhist fables, and it's based on this Dutch play. And Brandon Jacob Jenkins is truly a theater historian. He loves to layer in multiple levels of history and meaning. And so it's based on a Christian parable, but I wouldn't say that this particular version is skewed through a Christian lens. I think it invites a multitude of religious and non-spiritual readings of the world and how we live it.
It's just really about that experience of what it's like to come to an end and then to be faced with the one thing, whatever that is, be it God or spirit or whatever, that you find comfort in, that you take to the grave.
Take us through the journey. What will we experience? And in asking that question, I'm thinking the name of the play is Everybody. Is everybody a character?
Yes, in multiple ways. Everybody is a character in that we have a core group of actors that play the somebodies, and each of those five people don't know which characters they're going to play until the moment in the play where they pull from like a bingo cage. And so the somebodies become everybody, kinship, cousin, friendship, and love. And so everybody is a singular character that goes through and kind of holds the journey for all of humanity. But I think love actually kind of questions for us and says, I thought this was supposed to be about everybody. And so everybody is a singular character, but I think they're also supposed to represent kind of all of humanity. And I think what's really beautiful about this particular play is I think Brandon Jacob Jenkins is really asking, when we say everybody, do we really mean everybody? And what does that mean? And how do we include as many people as possible in telling this story?
So everybody in the audience is also a character.
I think so, too. Yes, absolutely. There's no fourth wall. You can't just sit back and watch this play. You are in it as an audience member.
Now, is there a through storyline?
It's the journey from a person realizing that they're dying and preparing themselves for that, and trying to figure out what it means to die, and then they do. And it's interesting because you think a play about death would be really sad, and I think there is a lot of sadness and loss and grief inside of it, but it's also really funny. Mm-hmm. This play is surprisingly funny. And someone said, what should I be expecting when I go? And I said, you should be expecting to laugh at things that are unexpected and then to have all of the feelings.
Mm-hmm. And it just kind of opens that dialogue to the thing that no one really wants to talk about, but everybody has to go through. Mm-hmm. And it's always fun at the end of the night to see the audience members say, whew, I got so much from that show. Let me tell you what's happening in my life and how you helped me and how that scene helped me. And now I want to talk about it, and it's kind of okay.
That's beautiful. Southern Rep's newly appointed Associate Artistic Director, Helen Jacks, and actress Zandra Howard. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Performances of Brandon Jacobs Jenkins' Everybody, featuring the Southern Rep Acting Company, run through November 17th at Southern Rep Theater, 2541 Bayou Road. More info at southernrep.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Jazz legend Ellis Marsalis, the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, and the Faubourg Quartet are among the musicians who will join cellist and Noga Classical Music Chair Dr. Ji Young Ko in a special concert to spread warmth this holiday season. Yes, it's the annual Coats for Kids concert. Ji Young is here to talk about the excitement surrounding what is becoming an annual holiday event. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Are you surprised by the success of this event?
I am very surprised and I feel very honored. And this year will be even more special because I got the most supporters and volunteers to be part of this amazing concert.
How many years has this been going on?
This is going to be our 10th anniversary.
Oh, this is a milestone celebration. So you've been collecting coats for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
How many kids do you think have benefited from your efforts?
We collected over 2,800 coats.
Oh, my.
I know.
Wow. So now, what types of coats and sizes are you looking for?
Very easy. Any coat in any size, gently used or new coat. If you have any coat in your closet or if you are willing to buy a new coat for any size, you're welcome to donate any of them.
Who's eligible to get a coat and how are they distributed?
I'm working with First Line School that has 6 schools in this city. And what I heard is over 60% of the students are minority or they have some financial problem. So that's how I chose a school a few years ago. And we have been working just together. There will be a little room at the school and the students will come just individually and they can pick whatever they want for himself, herself, or for the family members too.
Now, how did the event get started? Was there something in your background growing up that gave birth to this idea?
I think it was my college year. My mom bought me a really nice coat. And that meant so much to me because she was going through a financial crisis. And I was just entering to college, but she wanted to make sure that I have a really nice outfit for winter. So she bought, I think, one of the best coats I ever owned. But that time I was a little bit chubby and I lost weight. Although I wanted to keep it, it looked kind of ridiculous on me, right? So I was thinking, you know, what can I do? It's old coat, but it means a lot. So I created this concert, and I gave that coat to one of the kids. So that's how I started.
Wow. And here we are 10 years later.
I know.
Now, what can we look forward to this year? This is a big concert.
You know, this event is very special, not only because of the cause or meaning of the concert, but also the quality and the style of the concert. First of all, I have amazing, wonderful returning musicians every year. Mr. Ellis Marsalis is another big supporter and collaborator. And we have Dirty Dozen Brass Band. And also I have my Faubourg Quartet. And also my Noga students will support me at the beginning of the concert by providing music to welcome people. This year I feel extremely honored because some children throughout the city made a little choir to be my special guest.
Aww.
I know, because at the end of the concert, we always play What a Wonderful World. That's how we close the concert.
Yes.
And we had a special guest like Jeremy Davenport, Masala's family, or Miss Jermaine, or any other musicians that made the spotlight really special. But this year, the children made a special choir to close the concert.
With What a Wonderful World.
Yes.
Wow.
Last year was really funny. I had a little spice in the concert. My string quartet played the salsa, and we used the one conga player there, and my string quartet were playing, and then I had to dance as well.
Did you say you had to dance as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I played a little bit, and I was picked by a salsa dancer. It looks like we're going to repeat it again.
So you're going to dance?
Yeah, I think so.
Can you tell us what musical selections we'll hear?
I expect some choir work, definitely, and we're going to have a string quartet, which is really dear to my heart. So string quartet will open the concert with the Borodin string quartet number 2, and also we have jazz quartet with Ellis Marsalis and his quartet playing a couple of tunes. And of course, as I mentioned, we have 30 dozen at the end of the concert who will make everybody dance. And also, Mr. Alice Marsalis and I play a couple of Christmas songs, which is really, for me, a highlight of the concert, too.
Alice Marsalis on piano and you on cello.
Yeah, that's really lovely. This year, for the first time, I'm going to have this concert at NOCA where I teach the kids. So we are going to celebrate our 10th anniversary plus Mr. Alice Marsalis' 84th birthday.
Oh, my.
Yeah, 5:30, right before the concert.
Why do you do this year after year?
As a teacher and as a musician, I cannot find any other example that I can show to my community or to my students what music is doing to this world. And I believe music has power that can make this world better. And I want to use this concert to show to my students and to my supporters that we can do little things through the power of music.
And you're doing it one coat at a time.
Right.
Classical cellist and Coats for Kids concert founder, Dr. Giangco. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Diane.
The Coats for Kids concert will take place Tuesday, November 20th at NOCA, 2800 Charter Street, in the Solomon Family Hall. Admission is free if you bring a new or gently used goat. More info is online at nocainstitute.eventbrite.com. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.